and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me as always is Jesse.
Oh, hi.
And Caitlin.
Hello.
And today we are talking about season 3, episode 21 of One Tree Hill, the penultimate episode of season 3, I might add, titled Over the Hills and Far Away, which, fun fact, is a song by Led Zeppelin.
Again, this season has such an eclectic mix of bands.
Yeah.
That
for the titles?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
It's like there are like 5 Fall Out Boy titles and then some like 70s and 80s rock band.
Yep.
Like very weird.
And then just Murder by Death. It's fine.
Murder by Death, sad songs.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yes. Yes.
Explosions in the sky.
Explosions.
Yep. Yeah. So we open and I'll just preface this. The entire episode is narrated somewhat by Jake in the form of a fairy tale that he is telling to Jenny.
Yeah.
About a princess and a boy. It's so adorable.
Cute.
I'm not going to go through all of it, but I'm going to say it becomes relevant at the end. So,
Brody,
this is what
I need you to retell me the story word for word right now.
So we open with Peyton, who is driving down the road, and Jake, like I said, is giving the voiceover of the fairy tale of the princess loving a boy. And Peyton's car breaks down along the side of the road. Fun fact, it's the same place it always breaks down, because that seems to be the only place they ever film anything like this of. Yes, but it triggers a flashback to Peyton in Savannah the last weekend, because we found out this is the week following the weekend she was in Savannah. We
Ask
know this
me how long it took me to figure out that these were flashbacks.
How long did it take you to figure out those were flashbacks? Just
over
when I just told you?
Over half of the episode.
There we go. Yeah.
Oh, Jesse.
Yeah.
So
it's okay.
Yes.
I'm cute.
You are.
So, yeah. So we flashback to her in Savannah with Jake, and he clarifies if she really just asked him if he wanted to get married. And Peyton's like, yeah, and defends it by saying, you know, it worked out so well for Nathan and Haley. Hard cut to Haley forcibly forcing herself into her apartment because Brooke is keeping her out because Brooke is working on her wedding dress. And
why is Brooke working on her wedding dress at Haley's place?
If it's supposed to be a secret,
who knows?
I mean, granted, there's not enough room in Peyton's bedroom, but
I was
also
about to say, Brooke's homeless. So,
well, no, she lives.
No, she lives with Peyton.
Well, that's true. But like I said, there's no room. There should be room in Peyton's house because Peyton really only just uses her room. She doesn't really use any other part of her house.
Right.
So,
just
but
make it in the living room. No one is ever in the living room.
Nope. Never.
Is there
Do they have a living room?
Right.
Who knows? I don't know. But
oh
yes.
God.
Anyway, she's in Haley's apartment, apparently working on Haley's wedding dress. And while she's doing that, and it's hidden away so Haley can't see it, but Brooke asks her how Nathan proposed to her. And Haley gives her the spiel about it. But we find out that Brooke is recording her answer for some reason. Whatever could that be for? Anyway, we find out Haley reminds us about the fact that it's, you know, that he proposed after they had the fight about the internet porn and that they made up.
I fully forgot about that fight.
The fight about the porn
today.
Yep.
I forgot about the porn episode.
Yep.
And Haley really wanted to forget about it.
Yep. She really, really did.
But
yeah.
I mean, by the end of the episode, no one will ever be able to forget about it.
Nope, not at all. So, yeah, and in the process of their conversation, we find out that Lucas is actually getting home in a few hours, just in time for Nathan and Haley's rehearsal dinner that they're putting on, which is wonderful. I love it. But we also find out that Nathan and Haley have no idea what's happening at the rehearsal dinner. They're going in completely blind, and it's a whole surprise, even though we find out later that Haley hates surprises. This is gonna work out great, right?
I mean,
just fine.
It's gonna go so well.
Nothing
Almost
dramatic
as,
will happen. Nothing.
No, not at all. Almost as well as when Rachel comes to Trick to see Deb. looking for Cooper. And she asks Deb how she can get in touch with Cooper. And Deb just tells her he's out of town.
Go home, honey.
And Deb, being the ever wonderful person she is with the advice, levels with her and tells Rachel that she knows that she's called the house and she knows she's probably called his cell phone, but she thinks Rachel knows that this isn't going to work out. And Rachel, being super smug, says, well, you know that he slept with me after he found out how old I was. And Deb tells her, yeah, Cooper did tell her that, but he also said it was a terrible mistake, one that he regrets.
Listen, you don't step to Deb Scott.
Absolutely not. She will light your ass on fire, literally or metaphorically.
She will burn your ass and you will say thank you for it.
Yes. Yeah. Because truly, like, I mean, obviously these two would have had no reason to interact whatsoever before now.
But so I love it.
Rachel doesn't know that. But it was really satisfying to see Deb just be like, I don't give a fuck how hot you are.
Right? My almost 30-year-old younger brother will not call you back.
That is the part of that fucking conversation that really got me. Hot Uncle Cooper isn't 30. Hot Uncle Cooper is younger than all of us, okay?
He's like, he's like 28, 29.
I'm not okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Stop but you have to remember, honey, Deb is only like...
She's mid-30s.
Yeah, she's like 37, 38.
I understand that the parents in the show aren't much older than we are. I get it. But Hot Uncle Cooper...
Hot Uncle Cooper should not be younger than us.
Being almost 30?
Uh-huh.
Hated it.
Yeah, that hurt.
Hated it.
It hurt. It hurt a little
bit. Hated it.
Before we get too far, can I tell you, can I read my notes to you? Can I do a little bit of story time with the progression of Jesse's thought process? Yes. It went, Jake is telling the story. Yay! Wait, are they going to get married for real? Is it going to be a double wedding season finale? And that's
we'll find out, gentle listeners. Keep listening to find out. Yeah, there we go. And see if Jesse's hopes are completely dashed.
Hello.
Yes. So then we cut back to Haley, who is now blindfolded while Brooke put her in her wedding dress. She takes the blindfold off and Haley sees it for the first time. And the wedding dress is, it's something.
She hates it.
Haley absolutely hates it, but she doesn't say anything. So Brooke's like, you're speechless. I'm glad you love it. It is. There's like a high necked collar and there's a lot of tulle.
It's a bolero jacket.
It's a lot. It's very B. Davis. It's very B. Davis.
It's exactly the type of wedding dress you would expect from Brooke for herself.
Yes. Yeah. Not the wedding dress you'd expect for Haley.
We talk a lot about Brooke being like willfully oblivious in this television show. And this is like the peak of that. Like, there's no way in hell that someone you lived with acts like that. And you don't know exactly what they're thinking about what you made. Oblivious.
I just think poor Brooke thinks that, like, you know, she thinks she has the best taste in style and clothing. So she thinks what she likes, everyone else is going to like, because it's the best. Which is wrong, but it's what Brooke thinks.
Which is incorrect.
Yes, it's incorrect. But Brooke is really excited that, you know, Haley's speechless and she thinks that she loves it. And she thanks her for letting her make the dress for her and for being her maid of honor. Mm-hmm. And Haley's just standing there speechless. Poor thing. Mm-hmm. Then we flash back to Savannah, where Peyton tells Jake that she loves Jake and she loves Jenny, and that's enough. And Jake is still kind of taken aback by the whole idea of them getting married. And he says this, and I quote, okay, listen, you can't just fly to Savannah, get all in my head again, tell me you want to stay, and then ask me to marry you. Because I might just say yes. And it's the sweetest thing ever.
I melted. Oh.
He's so happy. He's so happy in that moment.
So happy.
It's so cute. So cute. Yes. Then
and the
back
episode
to...
ended. The end.
And there was no more episode to be had.
No more episode.
Have a great day.
That's all for us. That's a series wrap on Peyton and Jake. No more of their story. Goodbye. They get married and Jenny calls Peyton mama forever.
Are you done? Can I continue?
Do you have to?
You must.
I mean, we've got six more seasons to go, honey. So, yes, I think we must.
I still hate that. Continue.
So then we cut to Nathan, who comes home and finds Haley in the wedding dress. And he's like, oh, I guess I shouldn't see you in this. And Haley's like, it's fine. I'm not getting married in this because I hate it. And Nathan's like, are you sure? You might just want to wear it because, you know, Brooke worked so hard on it and she is your maid of honor. And Haley's thinking about it. But then Nathan gets interrupted by a phone call from Peyton. Turns out he's the one she calls this time when her car breaks down. And Haley decides to go with him because he has to drop her off at the cafe.
Great. So she can afford to buy another wedding dress.
Yes, exactly what she says. Yes.
I did decide, though. I took a look at that dress. It could have been salvaged.
Yes.
Oh, it totally
could. She just needed to throw the bolero jacket away. Brooke needed to fix the skirt a little bit. And yeah, it was fine. The top was fine. The tulle is fine. It just, like, was too much of everything.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think the tulle was a little much for Haley, too.
Well, yeah.
Which, but again, there's skirt underneath all that tulle. Mm-hmm. So you're totally right. Could have been fixed.
Absolutely.
Yes, but it wasn't. Anyway, then we cut over to Karen and Lucas, who we've not seen for an episode. They are on their way home. And turns out the road trip they did was to go on college visits for Lucas. And he says he liked all of them that he saw, but he figures that he'll just go somewhere that they can afford, because now that basketball's out of the picture, he won't be getting a scholarship to go to college. And yeah, Karen tells him that the trip was for more than just college visits. It was about finding a way back. And he's like, way back where? And she said, to a place where it's okay to dream again. And she tells him that he walked away from basketball to live a long, healthy life. But what does he want to do with that life? What's your next big dream?
Yeah.
Karen's back. The road trip.
I love this for her.
I love it so much that we have wise, motherly Karen back.
Yep, me too.
And she's less slappy, which is always nice.
I do love slappy Karen, though.
Well, it depends on who she's slapping.
Yeah. She needs to, like, keep her slaps off of Whitey.
Yes.
Because Whitey is too pure.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. No, I was excited to see them. I thought it was going to be another episode without them.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Instead, we get nice mother-son bonding time, which I love.
Yeah.
It's great. So then we go over to Peyton again, who's waiting at her car for the tow truck. And turns out the tow truck just show up and it's driven by none other than Marcus, who, if we remember, he was one of the kids in the Tudor Center the day of the shooting. And he starts asking her, you know, how's your leg doing? And he reminds her that he was in the Tudor Center that day. And she asks him if he knew Haley, and he says he doesn't really, but isn't that the whole point? And then Nathan shows up to bail Peyton out and asks Marcus how he's doing. And Marcus says he could be better. And Nathan goes to give Marcus a hand with the tow truck. And Nathan tells him he hasn't seen him around much at school. And Marcus says it's because he doesn't hang around with any cool people, which is cute. And then Marcus really admits that the day of the shooting really messed him up. And he said he really wishes that he could go back and talk to Jimmy that day. And we find out that it's bothered him so much that he ends up actually dropping out of school because he's now working full time for the mechanics.
Well, he also says, too, not just that he wishes he could go back and talk to Jimmy, but that he could go back and talk to himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That day and how he acted that day.
Yeah. He regrets what he did that day and wishes that he could change that because maybe it would have changed things, but who knows?
Yeah. I mean, they showed Marcus in the recap at the beginning of the episode. So, like, you know, they don't just accidentally show things in the recap. So I kind of assumed that he was going to come around, but God, it was so interesting to get this like outside perspective, outside but inside perspective on the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. And it feels like, you know, we spent, you know, a couple episodes dealing with everyone's pain with that day. And then really an episode. And then at episode 18, you know, we watched the slate clean with the fun cabin episode.
Yeah.
And then 1920, we're moving the story along, you know, and we haven't really checked in. So it's interesting to go back and see how it was for how everyone else is dealing with what happened outside of our main characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
No. Yeah. And they showed a shot of Marcus in the recap that I don't remember seeing during episode 16, of him like looking completely shell-shocked. And because for some reason, in my memory of that episode, Marcus was always very like antagonistic towards Jimmy and everyone else in the tutor center, and to the point where like Skills and Nathan were like literally holding him back at one point. And so I'm sure that shot was there somewhere, but the fact that they like really zeroed in on the shot of him like looking completely shell-shocked was interesting. Something I don't remember seeing. There were a few other things to focus on during that episode.
Yep. It was when it's the scene where they pan across everybody when they hear the first shot.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Then Nathan asks Peyton, he's like, I'm glad you called, but isn't it usually Lucas who you call in this situation? And she's like, he's out of town. And he's like, okay, what about Brooke? Which then triggers another flashback, kids, back to Savannah. And it's the night that Peyton proposed. She's in bed. She just wakes up and Jake is out of bed staring out the window. And he tells her she talks in her sleep. And he tells her that she should go back to Tree Hill. Then she can't stay here with him. And she asks him why. And he says, because you talk in your sleep. And she's like, what did I say? That I wanted to kill you? What did I say? It couldn't have been that bad. And he says, I heard you say, I love you. And she's like, great. Is that so bad that I love you? He says, no, you said, I love you, Lucas.
Eek.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yeah. Then we move on to Haley, who is at the cafe, and Dan, who is creeping outside the cafe.
Dan's got to be creeping.
To the point where Haley literally goes, where Haley literally goes outside and says, Mr. Scott, you need to go home. Deb is not here, and you're creeping some of the customers out. And he tries to be really nice and apologetic and tries to tell her he's happy for Nathan and Haley. And she just basically says, I don't buy any of this.
And none of us do.
And she says that and he's like, he's grateful that at least Nathan has her to protect him. And he says, I'm just happy that Nathan is doing well, whether it's because of me or because of you. And he says, I know you're renewing your vows and getting married again. I just want you to have a nice wedding day.
Yep.
I don't buy it. God. I'm not buying it. Like... Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
It's like when he had the heart attack. He had that weird, like, I'm so nice, and that lasted for 2.2 seconds. So
it's
I don't
like
buy it.
The beginning of both seasons 2 and 3, when he is slowly discovering that he's fucking invincible, right? Like,
right? Yeah. So then we move on to Rachel, who we see leaving another voicemail for Cooper. Great, great. Let it go, girl. Let it go. Let it go. God. Be like Elsa and let it go. Then we go back to Brooke, who is working again on Haley's wedding dress. And she tells Haley that, you know, she thinks she's going to add some feathers to it to make it even better. And Haley admits to her that the dress really isn't her at all. And Brooke immediately flips a switch and becomes so mad and upset because she tells Haley she worked really hard on this dress. And Brooke even insults the ugly ass hat and poncho and tells her to go and tell her to go shop for a new dress at Slut Barn and storms out. And my question is, why hasn't Slut Barn become a franchise yet at this point? Because Brooke Davis says it all the time.
Because it's 2022 and we're no longer slut shaming people.
Yep.
That's why.
But Slut Barn has such a nice ring to it.
I mean, well, it does, but that doesn't mean it should.
That's true.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to say this earlier and I couldn't because my dog, if you may or may not be able to hear, has decided that now is the time he would like to very loudly chew on a bone 3 feet from me.
Excellent.
And I was hoping he would stop, but that's not happening. So, not to backtrack too far to Rachel, but I liked seeing this side of her because it's another like proof that she's like more insecure than any of us would be willing to believe.
Yeah, that she's a human.
To believe.
She's a human being. She's not just a robotic bitchy plot device.
She's not a robotic, a robotic hot person, uh-huh. which is what she wants you to think she is.
Exactly.
And it was also just really interesting too, just like, and not just in this regard, but just also, this is the most like a teenager she's acted since she showed up to Tree Hill, which I really appreciated because
it's ironic.
Well,
this 29-year-old.
It's wildly ironic that the girl who lied to the almost 30-year-old and said she was 26 is now acting in the most her age that she has all season.
It's because the almost 30-year-old knocked her on her ass and she's now super insecure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's like, it's just, she can handle high school boys. Those are easy. She tried to climb Mount Everest that is Hot Uncle Cooper and she got her ass handed to her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She climbed him like a mountain.
Climbed him like
she reached at the top of the mountain and then got pushed off.
And she's still tumbling down that mountain in a big snowball. It's fine. She'll land eventually.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
I think our metaphors are flawless. I don't think
we've got some really good ones, man.
I think we're really good. We should write a book.
Wow. Oh, moving on.
Speaking of books,
we go on to Peyton, who gets home from Nathan dropping her back off home, and she's still real sad and upset. And she looks at the drawing that we've all seen of it's of her and Lucas and Brooke shooting at the flaming heart. We know what that drawing is. And it triggers another flashback to Savannah, where Peyton admits to Jake that she did tell Lucas she loved him at the school during the shooting. And Jake reminds her of this, you know, her pitch to get married was, you know, my dad's always gone. Nathan has Haley and Brooke has Lucas, right? Everyone has somebody except her. And Jake asks her, what if Brooke didn't have Lucas?
Yeah.
And Peyton is speechless.
She's speechless.
Girl is shook.
The wig has been snatched and thrown across Savannah, Georgia.
Buried it in a haunted graveyard in Savannah. No, like, Jake in this scene literally says everything we have all been thinking, but, like, personally, I've been too, like, gushy-brained because they're so cute to make any of these thoughts come out of my mouth. Like, Jake literally being the audience surrogate right now.
Exactly.
Jesse's in the same headspace of Peyton where she's in denial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, but Jake, come on.
Yeah. So then Brooke comes back home to Peyton's house and she sees her crying and she assumes that she's like, oh, honey, did you and Pete break up? And we find out that Peyton didn't tell anybody where she went. And Peyton admits that she didn't go to see Pete. She went to go see Jake. And Brooke immediately says, that's a good thing, right? Which then triggers another flashback to Savannah. And Jake tells her that he gets it, that she wants a family after losing Ellie and the fact that her dad is still not around a lot. And Peyton's like, yeah, is that so bad that I want to have a family with you, Jake? And he admits that he loves her. And he doesn't want to believe there is another guy in her heart, but he also doesn't want to get hurt again and lose her.
Ugh.
And he tells her with everything, he has to be honest with himself especially for his sake, but also more importantly for Jenny's sake. Which is why he's doing
Jake is the best father on this entire TV show.
Hands down.
Yeah.
And that's why he's trying to be so honest and lay it all out for Peyton of like, what do you actually need or want? Because I have to be careful with my heart for my sake and for my daughter's.
Yeah. Ouch. Mm-hmm. Crushed. Uh-huh. Ouch.
Yeah. Speaking of ouch crushed, we move on to Haley, who is kicking the shit out of a punching bag in her living room.
When did she start boxing?
I love it. I love the fact that Haley's given a right hook to a damn punching bag in the middle of the room. And Nathan comes in and he's like, who are we hitting? And she's like, myself, because I talked to Brooke. And he tells her that he ran into Marcus. And Haley tells him in that same sentence that she also saw Dan. And she wonders, who's the bigger ass? And Nathan kind of corrects her and says, you know, Marcus actually dropped out of school, and I think he's actually trying to be a better person. And he tells her he kind of wants to invite him to the rehearsal dinner. And she's like, okay, that's cool. And she's speaking of it. Then they talk about their first dance song. And she says, I've narrowed it down to three choices. And Nathan says, all right, give them to me, and I'll pick the one, and I'll surprise you on the day.
And he picks When the Stars Go Blue by Tyler Hilton.
No, he doesn't.
No, he really doesn't. He really doesn't.
So, I don't know if you remember this, Brody, but there's a backstory here behind this whole wedding day.
I knew there was, and I couldn't remember exactly.
I remember it because I thought it was as stupid then as I do now. Because I didn't like any of the songs, so...
Did they I thought it was stupid back then. They did a fan vote, didn't they?
They did. So after it was like, what they did was like, so Nathan does this whole thing of like, how about you give me the songs and I'll surprise you on the day. And I think it was like the next commercial break. They were like, we want you guys to pick Haley and Nathan's first dance song. Here are your choices.
Text your vote to do this. Blah, 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 blah.
It was like, vote to this number.
Text your vote on your singular cell phone.
Exactly. Your singular cell phone. And then at the wedding, it's really awkward because they have their first dance and Haley's like, oh, I'm so glad you picked this one. And you know for a damn fact they have no idea what it was when they filmed it.
Right.
Nope. They just swayed slowly and had no idea what music was actually going to be playing. Yes. I now that you say that, I do remember that. And I remember hating it then as much now.
I will never forget that I was just like when I was a teenager, I was like, this is dumb because I don't like the songs. As an adult, I'm like, this is dumb because why? Like, what a marketing ploy.
For a show where music is so central, that was such a moment they could have picked something really meaningful to the characters.
Exactly. And they left it up to the fans.
Yeah.
Then Nathan asks her what she's going to do about Brooke. And Haley says, I'm going to apologize and hope she forgives me. And he's like, that's my girl, as she punches his arm. Haley's just feeling very
funny. They fist bump. It was really cute.
I love them.
They're so cute. Yes. So then we go back to Lucas and Karen, who are still driving back, and Lucas tells Karen that literature, he would want to study literature at UNC. That would be his dream school. And Karen says, my son, the next great American author.
What do you do with a BA in English, Lucas James Scott?
You quote John Steinbeck for the rest of your life.
Yes. But he does say, you know, like you said, UNC to study literature would be his dream school if they could afford it. And Karen tells him that Keith's lawyer, who was setting up the adoption, called. And turns out that Keith had quietly been saving money all of Lucas's life for a college fund. And she says that Keith dreamed Lucas's dreams alongside him. And if Lucas wants it and he has the grades for it, he can have it because Keith left it for him. And Luke just says that he misses Keith so much. And Karen reminds him that he's always there with him. And she asks him to make him proud. And Lucas says he will.
This fucked me up.
Uh-huh.
This really messed me up. I'm not going to lie.
Uh-huh. Yep. Lucas's father came through. And by father, I mean Keith, because that's who
his,
it was.
His real dad.
His real dad was Keith.
Oh, daddy, damn Uncle it. Keith coming in clutch. God.
Yep.
I miss Keith.
Now, can we also say the fact that he did this and didn't dip into it to save the body shop?
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Right? He didn't touch that money.
He really said, no, this is Lucas's college fund. Uh-huh. I will not be touching it.
Keith Scott literally sold his soul to his brother, a.k.a. the devil, before he spent a dime of Lucas's college fund.
Ugh.
Like, what?
And let's not forget that Keith's college fund didn't come with strings attached like Dan's did.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I know we said that Jake is the best father in this show, but like Keith is the best father in this show. Mm-hmm. And Jake is a very close second.
Yes.
Like, yes.
I loved the scene between the two of them. It's just the, and I've said it once, I'll say it again. The chemistry between Moira Kelly and Chad Michael Murray as mother and son is so good.
Great.
They're so good together.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was such a good touching scene of, you can see that these two are healing. You know,
there's still
scars. There's always going to be scars, but they're healed.
Yeah.
And it's great to see. After weeks of them being less than happy. So then we get Brooke and Peyton, who are walking around because Brooke wants to go shopping. Peyton thought they were going shopping to help Haley pick out a new dress. No, turns out Brooke is actually shopping to make herself feel better. Screw Haley. Oh, my God, Brooke.
Still, Brooke's got a Brooke.
Brooke Davis has got a Brooke Davis. She can't help it.
Yep.
So then we cut to the dressing room of said clothing store where Brooke goes into, and we see Rachel. She gets a phone call. She gets very excited because she thinks it's Cooper. It's not. It's Mouth. She ignores it. And in a fit of rage, I'm going to say she punches the mirror, but she doesn't. She kind of just slams her hand into the mirror. It's weird. And she breaks the mirror and cuts up her hand. And in that moment, Brooke comes out of the dressing room next to her. And Rachel just says, he said he liked me. Wah, wah. Sad, Rachel.
Yeah. I mean, this show does a good job, like, finding bits of, God, what's the word I'm looking for?
Humanity?
Humanity and vulnerability in their hot robots.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because Brooke was just kind of the same way back in season one, you know?
Yeah.
And then they finally started showing her vulnerable side.
Mm-hmm. I feel like these last few episodes we've gotten, like I said, for the first like half or three quarters of this season, Rachel's been nothing but a hot plot device.
Yeah.
And with everything going on since episode 15 going on, we've kind of peeled back the layers that is the stinky ass onion that's Rachel.
Yeah.
And we're getting to kind of who this girl actually is, which is nice to see. You know, she's still not likable in a lot of ways, but we're at least getting to know why she is the way she is in a lot of ways. And we're starting to get that. Yeah. She's a normal teenage girl like everybody else.
Yeah. I have a tangent to go on, and I don't know if now is the right time or after the episode.
Oh, let's just do it now. Who cares?
Okay. So we are a little bit removed now from episode, 19, when we first saw the bathing suit photo of Rachel when she was young.
Yes.
And I reacted very strongly to that in our episode about that. And I don't take back anything I said, but I did some reflection. Like, that girl in that picture was 100% me. That, and I think it struck a big chord with me. I still don't like Rachel. I still think, she is still the hot villain, and, like, I don't want to like her. I'm not going to like her. You can't make me. But okay. I do feel like I could have maybe taken a breath and responded more intelligently to that plot line than I did.
Well, it's a shitty plot line. I mean, let's just be very real. It's a shitty fat shaming plot line that should not have been in there in the first place. And they could have found a much better way to do that. But let's not forget, this is 2006.
2006, And
2006, we're at the height of Abercrombie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, truly at the height of, like, Abercrombie and American Eagle.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing, too, that I didn't mention when I was talking about her acting her age earlier, but I just thought of it going back to episode 19 and who Rachel used to be. That girl, Cooper never would have been interested in.
No, and that's the girl that's coming out right now with Rachel.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That's the girl who's calling him every hour, trying to get validation and love from this man who, rightfully wants nothing to do with her.
Because she's a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But still legal, apparently, in the state of North Carolina.
I mean, she is not wrong. Does that make it right?
Hell no.
No. Yeah, no, just this episode and the things that Rachel was going through with Cooper, like, made me take a step back and, like, realize how fucking triggered I was by that entire fat-shaming plot in episode 19. Yeah. I just wanted to say something a little bit more intelligent and, like, cohesive about it than, like, I think I said I'd rather be fat than be a total bitch, and, like, por que no los both, you know? Like, but, you know, just I need just something a little bit more cohesive and intelligent, and
And that's the hard thing, because they stretch out this whole thing of peeling back the layers of Rachel so much that it's like you don't ever get enough in a single episode to be like, oh, she's a human being.
Right.
And it's not until now, after you've had the culmination of, like, these last, like, 6 or 7 episodes, that you're like, oh, wait, she's an insecure teenage girl like everybody else. Mm-hmm. You just have to peel back the fake tits and the liposuction and the stomach staple to see it.
Right. And the mild eating disorder. And the 2006 of it all really got to me. And I hate it. I hated it then. And I hate it even more now.
Cool.
Thank you for allowing me to tangent.
Abso-friggin-lutely. So, yes. Then we go to Brooke, who is now at Trick for Haley and Nathan's rehearsal dinner. And Peyton's like, just like Brooke Davis, to show up when all the work's done. And Brooke's like, but I'm here. And she asks Peyton how it went with Jake. But then Haley shows up and Peyton's like, bye, I'm getting out of this conversation. You two have things to talk about.
I'm going to go hide the knives.
Right, exactly. That's what she says. And
I don't know what I like better. I'm going to go hide the knives, or I'm going to go be somewhere else.
Right?
They're both so good.
They're great. They're great.
They're both perfect exit lines.
Like, really, they are. Really, they are. It's, yeah. So immediately Brooke and Haley apologize to each other. And Brooke, you know, Haley's like, I'm really thankful that I'm grateful that you made my dress, you know, and I'll love it. It's fine. It's great. It's great. And Brooke tells her to save the love for her till after the party, because she says, did you really think I wanted to know the life story of Naylee? And Haley was like, yeah. And Brooke was like, well, you'd be wrong. I needed it as ammo for tonight. And Haley's just like, okay.
Sweet, sweet Haley. Just assuming everyone's trying to be a good friend who's interested in her life.
Right. Yes. So, yes. So then it's a little closer to when the parties or the rehearsal dinner is about to start. And there's a lot of people out at Trick in the audience. Brooke and Peyton are backstage. And we find out Brooke's relieved that there's a lot of people there because apparently there's this bad flu that's going around. And she also admits to Peyton that with Lucas gone, she kind of realized something about herself, that she's not so dependent on him anymore. She can kind of stand on her own. And it's nice to know. Good for B. Davis.
I loved this moment for her. And it's a wildly interesting contrast to the end of episode 17 when she's in Lucas's bed because she thought she heard a bear in Coastal North Carolina.
Yep.
Telling him about how he always saves everyone else and sometimes it would be nice if he saved her. Mm-hmm. And she's literally standing here telling Peyton, I don't need him to save me. I've got myself.
Exactly.
I'm good company. Like, good for her.
Yeah. And Peyton tells her, and Peyton reiterates it and says, Brooke, you are the best company.
Yeah. Well, Peyton says it out of guilt, but.
Well, yes.
She's not, she's not lying.
But it doesn't make it wrong. But it doesn't make it wrong. She's also like
looking at Brooke going, you're the best company, and knowing that as soon as she tells Brooke the truth, that girl is no longer going to be her friend.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yes. Then Nathan and Haley show up and they have a front row spot for whatever's going to be happening at this rehearsal just dinner.
The cringiest of all cringes that have ever cringed.
Yes. So backstage, Lucas shows up and he and Brooke are real adorable. They use the pet name. She's like, hi, pretty girl. She says, hi, boyfriend. It's adorable. It's great. They are interrupted by Bevan, who is worried because Skills is ill. He has the flu. And he was supposed to be Nathan in the first scene with her. Whatever that means. Fergie has come to the rescue, but Bevan's worried because she doesn't think people are going to buy him as Nathan because, you know, his hair.
And Skills has identical hair to Nathan.
It's just poor Bevan. Poor sweet summer child Bevan. Oh, she's trying.
I love her with everything that I have.
Like, I love Bevan. I mean, I love it.
Especially where we've been missing Dim for so many episodes now. Like,
I was going to mention this. I had to look it up, Jesse. Fun fact. We've seen the last of Tim.
What?
Yeah, I had to look it up to see.
In the same way that Jake isn't coming back.
Maybe.
Or.
But no, the fun fact is, no. Well, for season three, his last episode of season three was the dream sequence where he's like, he's 86, yo.
Okay. So not forever.
Maybe.
Jesus. Stop. I didn't even ask anything that time, really.
I know.
Just brought up that Bevan's really right, bringing the dumb.
Because yeah,
bringing no, that Dim energy.
Dim has not been around. And it's because Tim was not there at all.
I really kind of was hoping he was going to be at the wedding, but fine.
I mean,
you literally just told me he's not going to be there.
I could be lying. You don't know me. Anyway, moving on. Brooke then comes out and introduces the evening. And we find out what the plan is that they have written scenes of the unauthorized version of Nathan and Haley, the fairy tale. Great. Yes. And we get some of the best acting we have ever gotten out of anybody in One Tree Hill ever, because it is purposefully bad acting and it's amazing.
It's so great.
The first scene, and Jesse hates every second of it, don't you, honey?
Jesse hates every second, and
I love it so much. So, Jesse, buckle up, Buttercup. We're going in depth here. So, the first scene is Bevan and Fergie. And it is the first date, quote unquote. And it is the first tutoring session where Bevan is wearing Haley's ugly ass hat and poncho.
Yeah, she is. I love it.
Fergie and her.
Well, she's just wearing the poncho because they comment on the fact that she's got a wig on.
Right.
So she's got the same hair as Haley.
Yes. And they reenact the whole thing of don't say I never gave you anything with an added one that Fergie says, damn, that is one ugly ass poncho.
And he says, don't say I never got you any bling, girl.
Yep. Just slight deviations. It's fine. Then we get the next scene is when Nathan and Haley spend the night together for the first time. If we remember, it was when Nathan collapsed on the basketball court because drugs. And he walked out of the hospital and walked to Haley's house. And Brooke and Lucas reenact it, complete with Brooke just showing off lingerie and Lucas going, okay. And Nathan and Haley completely disagree on the validity of that scene because Nathan's like, that's exactly how it happened. And Haley's like, hell no, it didn't happen that way. And it's adorable.
The Nate wig that Lucas has on.
It's so good. It's almost as good as his actual bad hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the next scene, which might be my favorite, it is Deb and Junk reenacting the scene where Haley has a breakdown and says, I'm not a wife. I'm not even a senior. But it's the first time that Nathan says always and forever to her. And it's adorable. And it's great. And Junk tries to kiss Deb. And it's hilarious.
Can we also just take a moment to comment on how far Deb Scott has come in terms of her support of this
right
and right. this marriage?
Can we not forget the scene in the chapel where Deb sees the ring and flips out on Haley? It's so good.
Oh, the my trajectory. God.
And now Deb is reenacting the I'm not even a senior moment. I love right. it. I love it so much.
So funny.
It's so good.
God. Deb is the official, like, MILF of Tree Hill, though, right? This is the yes. second high school guy who's
tried to kiss her. Yep.
Tried to kiss her.
Yep, exactly. The next scene, Brooke says they are short an actor. So if Nathan would be so kind, would he be able to come on stage and do it? Nathan's like, hell no, hell no, hell no. And Haley's like, hell yes, go do it, go do it. So he does. And it turns out it is the scene where they first kiss. And it is when Nathan is throwing the rocks at the window and it's actually her parents' window. But Haley in this scene is Gigi, and Gigi just throws her lines out the window and immediately comes on stage and then just jumps Nathan and kisses
little
him.
Freshman Gigi said, I am shooting my shot. I am never going to get this chance again.
This is my moment. You cannot take this away from me.
And I will not be getting it back.
Exactly. And Nathan's taken aback. Everyone's taken aback. And Haley's like, really? And Gigi's like, I think I messed that up. We should totally do it again. And Haley just looks at Nathan and says, you're coming back down here
you're
now.
Done.
We're done. We're done with this. It's so funny.
God.
No, actually, it's funny. But the funniest one is the next scene, which is Brooke and Lucas reenacting the fight over the internet porn. And where she calls what Nathan a porn fiend or a porn fanatic or something like that. I can't remember.
Lucas she calls also, himself a porn freak.
Yeah. Porn freak. And Brooke says, you know, as Haley, she's like, well, I enjoy porn as well. And I even Haley myself once in a while too. It's just yeah. so good. It's so bad. Good. I love it. I love it so much. Cause it's, here's the thing. What I love about it is such like, a high school way of doing this. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
If two high schoolers were going to get married their senior year and their friends were going to do this, they're going to reenact it and do crazy little skits like this. Yeah. I think it's hilarious. Absolutely. I love it.
Although, so this is going to be roundabout, but I feel like one of my earliest predictions was vindicated in this episode because
we did get
Lucas Scott delivering the line, I love you, Haley, and I always will.
I mean, he's acting. He's acting.
Right.
So I don't know
but
in the industry, that's what we call a stretch.
Yep. Yep.
I prefaced it.
The stretch limo.
Yes. It is that, a longer that, stretch that limo is, than Pete from Fallout Boys.
That's longer than Pete from Fallout Boys. Stretch limo Hummer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put that in my wins column.
That's thank great. You, very much. You don't have many. Really you don't have that? Many of them, so I'll then give it
by all means.
I had a pretty big one this season.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
you did.
True. That's true.
Just because it was like my first doesn't mean
3 seasons in you got your first one. Good job. Good job, Jesse. Maybe by season 6 you'll have another one and by season 9 you'll have them ready.
I'll know the entire
season. By season 9, before. She won't even have to watch it. She'll just know what's going to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Anyway, don't okay. Then, so while that scene's going on about the porn fight, Peyton watches backstage as Lucas kisses Brooke, and it triggers another flashback to Savannah. And Jake tells her that he's sorry, but her father was right, and she should follow her heart. And Jake thinks she should follow her heart back to Tree Hill. And Peyton says, what if her heart still aches for Jake when she goes home? And he tells her, well, I'll still be here if it's meant to be.
It is. Just stay.
I know. Then they have kind of an intermission, I think, because... Yes. Then we cut to Haley thanking Brooke for the evening and says it's wonderful, but also warns, she's like, you know, Rachel's here. So, you know, behave. And Brooke's like, I actually invited her. And Haley's like, oh, okay. And walks off. Brooke then goes to talk to Rachel, and Rachel thanks her for covering for her at the store. And Brooke's like, yeah, mirrors just break all the time. It's fine. Fine. And Rachel admits to her that she's mad at herself more than anything for lying to Cooper, and now he doesn't want to see her because of that lie. And Brooke tells her that she's sorry, and Rachel has a real hard time believing that she's genuine with that sorry. And Brooke informs her that she's had her heart broken, and she wouldn't wish it on her worst enemy, not even her.
Yeah. It's a weird truth.
It's a weird truth for these two, but I kind of love it. So then Nathan finds Marcus at the party and thanks him for coming. And Marcus tells him and Haley, congratulations. And Haley tells Marcus and offers to him that if he ever wants to come back to school, she would happily tutor him. And Nathan's like, yeah, she makes it super easy. She even made me seem smart. It's fine. I love it. And Marcus appreciates the offer and walks off. And Haley tells Nathan that she thinks even though two people lost their lives that day of the shooting, maybe it made other people find theirs.
Yeah.
Perspective by one.
Excellent.
Haley Jane Scott.
So good.
Love it.
The perpetual adult in the room.
Yep. So, yeah. Then backstage, as they prepare for the last scene of the evening, Peyton informs Brooke that Mouth is actually sick too. And Brooke's like, okay, that's fine. Lucas can just do the scene, which Peyton is very nervous about. And Brooke just doesn't seem to care and is like, nope, it's fine. Lucas, you can do it. He's like, fine, but I'm not wearing the wig. And she's like, fine, just do it. And Peyton looks real nervous, and she asks Lucas if he knows what scene it is. And he's like, no. And he looks down at the piece of paper and looks back up at her and says, oh. Yeah. Yep. Then Brooke gives a wonderful sweet speech about Nathan and Haley and introduces the final scene, which is the proposal scene. And it opens with like, wow, that was some good love making.
Golly gee, that was some good loving, Haley. Uh-huh. I wrote it down verbatim. I had to.
It's great. It's great. One of Chad
Michael Murray's best lines. Because that was the humor that the scene was supposed to be.
Uh-huh. Exactly. It's supposed to be funny. But
and then Peyton had a panic attack.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Because Lucas says in that moment, in the scene says, I love you. You know that. And Peyton totally has a panic attack, freezes up, and has a flashback to Savannah again. She's traveling through time like a lot this episode. Just call her Doctor Who. It's fine. And she's back at Savannah, and Jake tells her to look inside her heart and see if Lucas is still there. If not, he will be there for her. And it flashes back to the scene where Peyton is having still an internal panic attack. And we flash back to literally every big moment for the last three seasons between Lucas and Peyton. Whoa. Every single one of them are going through her brain right now, including the time where she tells him in season one she wants to be with him, the kiss in the library, and it snaps her back to reality, and she tells him she loves him too, and the scene ends, and Brooke is watching very nervously from the sides
because Peyton is sobbing.
Yeah. Then later on, At the party, Brooke asks Rachel if she's going to be okay. And Rachel's like, yeah, I'm going to be totally fine. It's his loss. Nice cover, baby girl. Nice cover. Marcus then leaves and then thanks Haley and Nathan for the invite and the offer. And Haley at that point tells Nathan there's something she has to do first. And she leaves. We see then Rachel get in her car and try calling Cooper again. When he doesn't pick up, she starts crying in her car.
Yep.
And we find out where Haley was going. She goes to see Dan. And she tells him the last time she was standing in a doorway giving someone the benefit of the doubt while her instincts were screaming at her not to, it was for Nathan. And this time, it's still for Nathan. And she invites Dan to the wedding. Mm-hmm. But tells him, God help you if you don't change. And he looks genuinely surprised and happy that she's invited him to the wedding.
Don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. So then back at the party, Lucas says goodbye to some of his friends from the team. And Karen's back in the bar and she asks him if he's happy to be home. And he says, yeah, I am. So maybe Lucas is getting some closure on the whole basketball thing. Maybe. Then Haley and Nathan get home from the party and they flop down on the bed and realize there's no bedspread. And we find out that Brooke made a new dress for Haley out of the material from the bedspread, which if we don't remember was the material that she had bought for Karen's wedding dress.
Oh God. Ouch.
So now Haley's wedding dress is out of the material that was going to be Karen's wedding dress. And it's a perfect dress and Haley loves it.
I hope Brooke dry cleaned that fabric.
Yep.
Because
you know what those two like to do.
Granted, they haven't had sex.
It's been a while. But they've had that since their bedspread prior to the
new engagement. They were fucking like bunnies, though. Yeah. They were truly...
We had like three solid episodes of them fucking like bunnies.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, she better have dry cleaned that bedspread before she, yeah. Things you don't want to think about. Moving on.
I'm sorry.
Glad you brought it up. It's great.
Haley, did you sit in something? You've got a weird stain on the back of your dress.
Oh, God. Welcome to Tree Hill After Dark, kids. It's fine. It's fine. We're fine. Moving on. Okay. Yeah. No, hard right turn to Jake finishing his bedtime story to his child.
Stop it.
I didn't do this, Jesse. You did.
Kaylin started it.
You two are both in timeout. So, yes. So Jake finishes the fairy tale about the princess and the boy. And he tells her the princess and the boy lived happily ever after. And he ends with, at least I hope they do. Oh. And the last scene of the episode is Brooke goes backstage to find Peyton. And Peyton is sitting on the bed crying. And Peyton tells Brooke that she thinks she still has feelings for Lucas. And Brooke tries to clarify and says, you still care for him as a friend. And Peyton tells her, no, it's more than that. And the episode ends.
To the dark we're going, and here we go. Because, oh boy.
Fully unnecessary.
So, kids, what did we think of the episode?
Well, considering that I thought that this was the episode we were watching last week, and it wasn't, because I love this episode so much, uh-huh. I'm very glad that we got to this episode finally.
Yes. I love this episode. I think it's great. It's like,
yes,
it's got everything you want and more. It's got drama. It's got heart. It's got lots of funny. It's got bombshells. It's got Jake.
It does have Jake.
It has Jake.
It has peak Jake.
It's got peak Jake.
It's amazing dad Jake, which really
it
is.
It does. Which is the most important of all the Jakes.
It is, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, ouch. Yeah.
I love this episode. It's great.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was also like incredibly cringy and hard to watch sometimes.
You hated You hated three quarters of this episode because of those damn skits. Don't lie.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I was thinking, like, the theater nerd in me was like, it would have been even cuter if they would have just, like, played Haley telling the story and, like, mimed along with the her telling it.
See, here's the thing, though.
But
I disagree, because the theater nerd in me would have done exactly what they did.
Okay.
So I think we're a house divided on this.
Because, we are a house divided.
But also, I think it was, I did appreciate the fact that that was like, you could clearly tell none of these sweet, sweet jocks and cheerleaders had ever been on a stage before.
Nope.
And it was just, you know, it was, they were just doing something nice for their friends.
Yep.
Right.
And you stepping can tell, out of their comfort zones.
Yeah.
You can tell it. None of them are friends with anybody in the theater department at Tree Hill, because one person would have set all of them straight.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're lucky.
And Mouth is sick.
Probably, yeah. Mouth had the flu.
So Mouth has the flu, and he's probably the closest to a techie that they have.
Absolutely. Yep.
So. Yep.
No, and I mean, it was perfectly extra in a way that only Brooke Davis could have produced.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But in a good way, as opposed to what that dress was.
Yeah,
like, correct. Yeah.
And it's alluded to, there were a lot more scenes. I just wish there were more we could have seen.
No, because
there's so many more Naily moments. There's so many more.
No. I mean, she also did them a real solid by finishing the skits before they got married the first time and then broke up and then got back together.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She only kept it to
when they first got married. Yes.
Love
yes.
story. Yeah. They only kept it to season one, which yeah, was
they
like,
didn't talk about tour. They didn't talk about the tour,
which was like very kind of Brooke. Yes. Very kind.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I mean, it was great. It really was. I am sad that Peyton didn't elope with Jake, but
aren't we all,
but honestly, he said everything that we were all thinking. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, he was the adult in the room at that point, which is what Peyton needed.
Yeah.
And I think as much, you know, heartache that this is going to ensue, because Jesse, I know you're not blind to what is probably going to end up happening with everything. I mean, it's going to blow up, you know? So despite that, I still love this story for Peyton, because she's finally doing what Ellie told her to do, which was live her life and live the way she wants to and not just exist.
Yeah.
And it took her this, it took Ellie, it took Jake, it took her dad, mm-hmm. all three of those people to give her the confidence and the strength to be like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And this is what I deserve.
Mm-hmm.
The shitty thing is, it sucks for a lot of other people, but I'm happy that she got to that point for herself.
Yeah. I mean, I'm conflicted about whether I think it was good for her to tell Brooke. I am super conflicted about that.
Yeah.
I get that.
I agree with you there. And we'll talk more about this next week, because as we know, like, this episode ended on the cliffhanger of her telling Brooke.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you know that that's going to be one of the first things that gets resolved next week.
Right. And I mean, before that cliffhanger came, I'm like, oh, so last week was the week that they blew everything up. And there, it's going to be like a two-part resolve this season, fix up, set up season four. But then they found even more shit to blow up. You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Do you want to hear my prediction for the next episode?
Yes,
I want to hear your season finale predictions.
Okay. So this is exactly what I wrote down. Ready?
Great.
I wrote this down after Brooke came in and said, everyone's getting some weird flu. They're dropping like flies. So that was the mindset I was in when I wrote this. So everyone is going to get sick and no one is going to be able to come to the wedding. Except for Dan. Dan is going to have to give Haley away.
Ugh.
Yep.
I hate that.
Oh, I hate that so much.
That might
much.
Be the yes. worst prediction you've ever made on yes. any level.
That doesn't even belong in the no column. That doesn't even belong on the page. It belongs crumpled up in the trash.
Yeah, that is.
I didn't say I liked it. I said it had to happen.
Ugh.
Not that anyone wanted no. it.
Now, what's your actual prediction?
What do you mean? No.
That wasn't a joke?
That was mostly serious. No, I think this flu thing is going to come back, and it's going to try to throw a wrench into their big special day. I think there's going to probably be some drama with the fact that Haley invited Dan and didn't tell Nathan. There's obviously going to be Brooke and Peyton drama. I think Brooke might break up with Lucas and go somewhere. For the summer or for spring break or whatever the fuck time of year we're in. I don't know. It's hard.
I just remembered what else happens in the season finale. It makes me very excited.
Oh God.
Oh, I remember everything.
Does everyone get the flu and Dan has to give Haley away at their wedding?
No, I can tell you that right now.
The season 3 finale is the finale episode that I remember most vividly.
Really?
Yes.
This was the season finale. I'll just give you this. This was the point where One Tree Hill after season 3, it was always kind of a toss up of like, is it going to get renewed? Maybe, maybe not. But this one, they just kind of went, you know what? Fuck it. We're throwing everything at it and we'll see what happens.
I thought they knew they were getting a season 4.
I don't remember. But I just know all the season finales, they basically were like, you know what? Screw it. We're throwing everything at it and seeing what happens. So, buckle up, kids. It's going to be a fun one next week.
Sweet.
Okay. God. Anything else we want to add before we wrap this up, kids? Besides the fact that I just love Deb as Haley.
Deb is Haley.
Yeah, Deb is Haley.
Who wins the portraying Haley Oscar in this episode?
Deb.
Oh. Deb.
I'm okay. Deb, 100%.
That was the most.
It's Deb with a Gigi is a close second.
I feel like Gigi was portraying Haley's like id. Like that is Haley. If Haley had no filter, would be fact. Gigi.
Yeah. And yeah. You know, if Haley was 3 years younger than she currently is,
mm-hmm. Right. Who played the best Nathan? Was it Fergie? Junk, Lucas with wig or Lucas without wig?
Oh, Lucas with wig.
Yeah.
Lucas Quarantine. Without wig because he, that's the one that gave the golly gee line.
But I see, I gotta like the one with the wig because that's when he says he's a porn fiend.
Oh, it is a toss up.
It's a toss up there.
Toss up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the okay. line read of golly gee, that was some good loving, Haley.
And on that note, golly gee, kids, thanks so much for listening to this episode. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. Golly gee, we'd really appreciate it. Rate us 5 stars and give us a good review. And follow us on social media, golly gee Willikers, why not? We're everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod.
Say golly gee one more time.
Golly gee Willikers.
No. Yeah.
Yep. We're everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod, Facebook, Instagram. You know the gist by this point. Hit us up in the Instagram DMs if you want to talk. Caitlin and I are always there. Jess, you'll take your carrier pigeons because she's not allowed on the social media. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week for the season 3 finale.
Wow.
Of One Tree Hill. We golly have made gee, it. Kids,
it's taken us a long time to golly, get this far.
Golly gee, it's taken us forever to watch season 3.
Golly gee. Golly gee, kids. So yeah, we'll see you next week for another episode. Golly gee, you guys stay safe and we'll see you next week, okay? Golly gee, kids. Bye.